Hey there, Curiosity Builders. I'm Chris Martin, and you're listening to Getting Work to Work, a weekly podcast for creative entrepreneurs, storytellers, visionaries, and changemakers who are on a mission of chasing big ideas, telling epic stories, and leaving living legacies. Whether you're just starting out or have been at this creative and curious life for some time, I hope you learn something new in this podcast and find yourself inspired to break through the barriers that hold you back and keep you stuck from getting your work to work. As 2021 begins, how is your business working? How do you know? Today's guest on Getting Work to Work believes that well-documented processes and procedures are not only the answer, but also provide a significant return on investment in growing your business. Adi Clevitt is the co-founder of Business Success Consulting Group, a team of experienced professionals helping their clients create and run successful, well-organized, and prosperous businesses. In this interview, she shares her passion for processes, people, and productivity. She also talks about how uniqueness is found in the execution of our processes, how automated systems can help in the recovery of burnout, and the distinction between change and expansion. Show notes and links to all the good stuff mentioned in this episode can be found at gwtw.co/475. Adi, welcome to Getting Work to Work. It's wonderful to talk with you today.
Thank you. It's great talking with you, Chris. Thank you for having me on the podcast.
Absolutely. I always enjoy talking to someone who is really into systems thinking and processes. I think it's going to be a really good conversation.
Absolutely. I agree.
So I love asking this question just right out of the gate, just to kind of set the bar for the conversation. But what are you endlessly curious about?
You know, I'm endlessly curious about what makes people do different things. You know, what makes people tick? Like, what makes them work? What makes them, what motivates them? You know, what makes them do certain things and the why behind it and whatnot? And I love that.
Yeah. Like, when did you start recognizing that in yourself when you were seeing yourself being curious about what made people tick?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I think it was early on, and you know, I studied industrial engineering because I was very interested in science, but I was always very interested in people as well. So that was a perfect combination. So I definitely had that throughout, even the beginning when I started my career. I mean, I decided to go study that because I wanted to understand the process part, but also the people part.
Yeah. Well, because like people are such an integral part of the process, even when it comes to machines.
Oh, yeah. I mean, process is not going to get executed without people.
Yeah. So this interview is kicking off the 2021 season of Getting Work to Work, which is pretty awesome to think about because when this releases, it will be January 1st. So In the spirit of a new year, what's one thing creative entrepreneurs, the people that listen to the show, can do right now to prepare their businesses for growth and scaling them to the next level?
You know, the first thing that they need to do is they need to decide. They need to decide that that's what they want. They need to decide that this is the year where that growth will happen, right? They need to go, okay, we're all in and going all out to achieve that. That is the one thing that we all have to do, is to decide that this is what we're going to do.
So once you make that commitment to the goal, you know, is it worth understanding, you know, what the goal is, or what goes into that next step after that?
Of course. So, you know, I'm here as the process expert, so I'm going to talk for my part. You know, we can talk about strategy, and we can talk about goals and targets and setting all of that, which it's absolutely a must and necessary, right? But what I'm going to be talking about is basically processes, and that's why you have me on this podcast, right?
So
let's talk about organization. So the one thing that, now we are on January 1st, 2021, and this is going to be a great year. You already made that decision. You're going to grow. You're going to scale. All right, so now we need to actually figure out how you're going to do it. And once you make the commitment to that project, we need to start somewhere. So what I'd like each one of you to do that are listening to us is to think about your company, your organization, your business, and find one area that if you had well-documented processes and procedures in that area, you will have the greatest return on investment. You will have, right? I mean, the business will be different. Your life will be different. Which area will create the biggest impact? And I'm sure you all have that instantaneous response. I mean, some of you might say, okay, let me think about it. But what area came to mind when I said that, right? And that is the area where I would start. I would start with the documentation with that area.
Yeah. The first thing that popped into my mind was the other day, a friend of mine was talking to me and she just lovingly said, "Why do you make it so hard to work with you?" And so it's like that to me was almost the start of thinking about the process of what it takes for someone to actually work with my company, let alone the process of doing the work.
Hard to work with you in terms of what?
Oh, like in terms of the website, like how do I find what you do and how do I engage your services and how do you start the process of working with you?
That's a great example in terms of like, okay, so you will concentrate on the onboarding. I mean, the business development part, but then the onboarding of new clients, you know, that is the process I will start with. Good example.
Yeah, it's so interesting because I think for creative people, I think we naturally understand process because it's the work that we do, whether it's, you know, when you make a website, you follow a certain process. When you design a logo or produce a video, there are certain processes. But I really love what you're saying about the need to document it. Because what happens when we document the process?
When we document the process, so first of all, we become very conscientious of the process, right? All of a sudden, there is a process there. No, the process didn't arrive all of a sudden. We all have processes that we follow, right? The problem is the inconsistency, but we all have those processes. I mean, you have a process of how you make your coffee in the morning, right? You have your process of your exercise routine, whatever it is, you know, we have processes and procedures in place in our lives, but if they're not documented, then we can vary them, we can alter them, we cannot use them all the time. And that's where the inefficiencies come in. So when we actually document them, it's kind of like having, so first of all, you can have more of a awareness of the process, but it's also like having an x-ray of your organization, right? Because it's all laid out. This is how I'm doing things. This is my, let's take your example, Chris, of the onboarding. This is how I onboard. Okay, well, right here, I can see that we're missing this part or that part, or this is why it's confusing because it's not very clear in this point or that point, right? So once you have it documented, you are able to go over it and see what areas need to be improved. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Because we're not even talking about, you know, doing the work. It's you know, we're talking about at the very beginning of a process before the work actually begins. So it's like there's so many layers of complication to a process.
There is. That's true. But I like to keep it simple. And that is the thing that, you know, people can think, oh, wow, now it's complex. It's too convoluted, too problematic. We're not going to document it. Yes, it's been my to-do list. It will be on my to-do list for 2021, but probably we'll get to 2022 and it's not done, right? So that's why I like to make it simple. Let's start somewhere. And it is like an avalanche. It's like a snowball thing. It's you start with one and you see if it really helps you, then you're going to continue doing it. If it doesn't help you, then we have a problem. But if it does help you, you would want to do more and more and more. You'll experience that.
I like what you're saying about simplification because that seems to be your superpower of taking complicated things and making them simple. So what's going on in your brain when you're able to simplify this stuff?
It's a very good question. I don't know. I'm not in my brain, but I can tell you what happens outside my brain. So, you know, I like to look at complex things and make them simple, right? So the client, I can walk a client through the complexity and the trying to explain how something is being done and, you know, trying to figure it out. I just tell them, tell me the story from beginning to end, from point A to point B, how you do things and show me. I use a lot of show me like, you know, do a screen share. show me what you do. Show me the final product. Show me the report that you generate. Show me, show me, show me. Tell me again and again. You know, so from different angles, ask different questions. And then I put the pieces of the puzzle together. And that is what I like doing the most, is putting those pieces together to a simple process that flows. You know, because you brought up a great point, Chris, in terms of creative people. I love working with creative people, because creative people definitely tell me, oh, yeah, we cannot, you know, I'm doing like so many things that are different and we can't really document it as one process, right? So really when you were talking about superpowers, so I love to find that common denominator. I love to find that process that can be the framework. But then on top of it, you build your creativity, because processes are not going to take away the creativity of the person. They're not going to take how you create your work. They're not going to take away your personality. All it's going to do is just going to open options for you, especially as a business owner. Because once you have the processes and procedures documented, then you can hire the person with the right personality. But maybe they don't have the experience. Because let me ask you a question, Chris. If you had to hire an employee, would you prefer hiring the experience or the personality that matches your culture?
I'd probably want the personality.
Right. And you're the only one. That's what we want, because we build a culture. You know, we are different. People are different. Like when we talked about what makes people tick. Okay, good. So we're all different. We have our personalities, what we like, what we value, and it's okay. I mean, you know, we definitely, diversity is awesome. I love diversity, right? But you have to make sure that, you know, the culture is a good fit for somebody, because somebody might not want to join your organization because maybe your values doesn't match theirs, or theirs don't match yours. It's whatever it is, but we want to create groups that are definitely diverse and equal and inclusive, but they also have to be a good fit for everyone involved, right?
Absolutely.
But if you have to then hire for experience and that person doesn't necessarily match the group, it's a problem. But if you have well-documented processes and procedures, you can hire somebody who is smart, who has the right personality, who has the right values or aligns with your own values, and then give them those processes and procedures so they can follow it, and then they can get the results. So that's a win-win situation for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. I like the way that you described that too, because I kind of flashed back a couple weeks ago when I was giving a presentation to a local college. And I went through the process of defining my process from idea to finished podcast episode. And I just kind of wrote, you know, the step down, put a square around it, and then just kind of made a chart of from beginning of the process to the end. And it was like 18 steps. I mean, it was a long process. But as I was going through that documenting process, a lot of processes here, as I was going through that that effort, I'm trying to find words, as I was going through that stage of defining this process, it really started to clarify in my mind, like, oh, that's what I do. Oh, that's interesting. I didn't really think about that. And it was really insightful.
Yeah, I agree. Exactly. That's exactly what happens. Insightful is a great word, because once you go through the process of creating a process, then you realize what your process is and you realize where you're missing or what are you doing well and what you should strengthen, et cetera. And then it also saves you time, because people that the subject of time management comes up a lot. Like, how can I get more time, or how can I finish my work faster, or how can I do more? Well, if you have well-documented processes and procedures and you're doing the same thing, you're consistent in what you're doing, you'll be able to do more. It's just, you're going to save time doing that.
What's interesting is earlier you mentioned process, and then shortly thereafter, you also said framework. And I'm curious, is it a synonym or are they different things?
You know, I think a process is a process, but then a process can be a framework to what you are doing. It's the system of how you're doing things, right? So a framework is a word that can be used for different things, but the way that I look at it is, you know, this is like the foundation, the framework, the skeleton, whatever you want to call it, that is, those are the core processes, if you would. Those are the main mm-hmm. processes that the business should use. And then mm-hmm. on top of it, you can create the rest of the procedures.
Yeah. Because as you were describing it, I was thinking about how to differentiate as a creative professional, creative entrepreneur. And if everyone, to some degree, follows a similar process from start to finish to create something, where's the differentiation there? Can it be found in the process, or does it reside in something like a unique framework that includes the process?
Well, I think it's in the execution of the process, really. If, like, mm-hmm. let's say we write a process on writing a blog, mm-hmm. right? So the first thing, I mean, I have to interview you of how you write your blog or how do you create a podcast, right? So I don't want to say anything and say, oh, no, this is not the way we write a blog. What's the first step in your process on creating a podcast?
Generally, what happens is I'll kind of get an idea. So it might be a title. It might be a quote from a book that I'm reading. It might be a phrase or a sentence or even like a word. So I generally start with just a seed of an idea.
Good. So that'll be the first step. Now, if you tell me to execute that step and I tell you to execute that step, I mean, both of us are executing the step. We might be executing the same step, but the results are going to be completely different. Not necessarily the result of getting an idea or getting a title will be the result is the same. The result will be get a title for the podcast, right? Or get mm-hmm. a subject for the podcast. But the content of it is going to be different, right? I'm going to come up with an idea that we're going to talk about oranges and you're going to talk about apples, right? So the execution, that's what will bring life into a process. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have it in everything in life. I mean, look at sports. I mean, you know, there is a process on how a game of basketball is being played, right? I mean, there are rules, right? And the mm-hmm. rules are basically like the process. Okay, so you do this, you do that. There is that many quarters. There is that many this, that many that many players. And they do this and they do that, right? But the way that they executed, the execution of it, well, that's the execution of the process. And that's what makes us different.
Mm. I like how you describe that, because where my mind immediately went was computer programming, where you define a function and the function does the same routine every time. So it has a step of instructions.
Right.
But what happens is what the input dictates the changing of the output. So whatever you feed into it, it's going to be different on the other end, even though the execution is the same.
That's
so the input is so important.
It's very important. So, you know, if you look at manufacturing and if that particular manufacturing line always manufactured the same things, well, okay, mm-hmm. so that's fine. So we will basically have the same raw material comes in and then the same output comes out. It'll be very mm-hmm. consistent. But if you put different raw materials, then something else will come out the other end, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. At first, it seems like, why are we really discussing like all of these almost minutiae of process and understanding inputs and outputs? But I think it's so important to understand all of these different things, because the way you described it earlier, like if you tried to come up with a title for my blog and I came up with a title for my blog and they would be different, that's where there's so much power as a team for creativity, that the differing ideas that are generated and just how much more can be possible.
Exactly. That's exactly right. So that's why we need to figure out, like, to what level are you going to document, right? Mm-hmm. And what is the purpose of the documentation? So that's where it comes into play. The, you know, depends on what you do. So if you, let's say, are a property manager, you're going to have a process of a tenant move-in process, okay? So how to prepare the unit for the tenant to move in. Well, you know, it's going to be the same procedure. I mean, people cannot just go do different things. You know, there are different things that you have to do, right? I mean, you have to mm-hmm. change the keys, you have to clean, you have to take pictures, you have to do this, you have to do that. So it's going to mm-hmm. be pretty much each company might have a little bit of a slight difference, but within the company, every property manager should go through the same steps, right? Mm-hmm. But what makes us different is how we execute it. You know, do you do it with a smile or you don't, right? Do you do it fast or do you do it slow? I mean, do you put the extra touch in there? You know, do you clean really thoroughly? You know, so it is what makes us different, but we still follow the process.
I started smiling when you said, how do you go through the process? Because I'm like, exactly. That's where customer service comes in. That's where I think so often we think about the product itself as the differentiating factor instead of focusing on the simple things like, well, how are you treating your customer or how are you showing up? How are you engaging in this process? And I think that's so important to realize.
I agree. It's the key differentiator between businesses, between people, and that's how you bring the process to life. And that's why you can look at the example of the skeleton and the meat and the soul, you know, and it's like everything that comes, the life that we put into that process, that's really what makes the difference. So that's why, again, going to creative people, if you have a good process, you can bring it to life with your own life.
Bringing your process to life with your life. Oh, I love that.
Yeah, now we became really, we started to philosophize about it, but that's really, but it's good because it's the concept. Again, we started with, okay, let's make a decision. We are doing it, but it's not enough to just make a decision. You really have to have your own why. Why do you want those processes and procedures, right?
Yeah.
And I think we're answering those questions.
Right. Because I, again, to build on what you're saying about the why, the motivation, going back to the first couple questions about growth and scaling to the next level, why do you want to grow? Why do you want to scale? You know, how much growth do you want? How much do you want to scale? What does the next level mean to you? I mean, once you start understanding your process, you can start asking, can my process actually get me there?
Exactly. That's exactly right.
So when you're working with someone and you've identified the process, how do you know a process is ready for scale?
Well, what we do, you know, writing it is not enough because you can write beautiful processes, but then the main thing that we need to do is we need to apply it, right? So we need to make sure that the application is happening, that it's actually workable. And then if it is, then it's going to scale, like other people are going to use it. So it will scale. It will be adopted and then used, and then expanded upon as needed. But it has to be followed by all. It has to be adapted. It has to be trained. It has to be shown to people how to use it and how to bring it to life, basically.
And that's the part it seems like maybe there isn't enough time spent on.
I agree with you. And that's actually the make break of every project. So it's good because we're breaking down what that decision, what that resolution should be. So it's not just decide to do it, but decide to implement it, decide to bring it to life, decide to actually use it, right? And that is key in ensuring that those processes are not just, you know, you just not just wasted time writing those processes.
Interesting. As we're talking about systems and processes, I'm reminded of a quote that I read recently from a book called The Second Mountain by David Brooks. And he's talking about a baseball psychologist named H.A. Dorfman. And the quote that really just really grabbed my attention was this: structured discipline is necessary if you want to escape the tyranny of the scattered mind.
I agree. I completely agree. I think this is exactly what we were talking about, that you have to have a framework, right? Because if you have a framework that you're going through, then you can execute. Now, it doesn't mean that we do not allow us time, that we don't allow time to think and to look at things and to explore or other opportunities or new ideas. We have to have that, right? Or we have to have time to create. We have to have time to look at new ideas and et cetera, especially if we are creative and work in a creative field. But that can be part of the process as well in terms of like, okay, so those are a few hours a day. Like, you know, you have a process of how you go about your day. So if your stronger hours to do that will be first thing in the morning, okay, so part of your process will be for the first 2 hours, that is what you do. And then you get back to, then you do your Maybe you check your emails and you do all the mundane routine stuff that you have to do for another 2 hours. And then you start creating your blog for another hour and a half or 2 hours. And I know some people are listening and go, okay, no, we never, this is not going to work for me. I don't like the time block, right? I don't want to do it that way, which is fine. It's totally fine. That's not your process then. But you know, you will have to find whatever works for you, or maybe it doesn't have to be that structure for you, which is totally fine as well. Mm-hmm. That's the thing, is we can't force ourselves to do this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, this is it's a workable method and it will work. But if you're not ready, if you don't want to do it, it's just not for you. So don't stress about it. You know, that's my advice to people, is like, if it's not, you're not ready for it and it doesn't come naturally, you don't want to do it. So either hire somebody to do it or just don't do it.
Yeah. Oh, that's such a good point. As you were talking about just the need for structure, I was thinking about an experiment that I've been doing recently where I started a second podcast. And instead of doing like the interview style that we're doing right now, I wanted it to be more conversational on just one topic. Mm-hmm. But what I found was, in that, you know, kind of structure of one topic, you know, who knows where it will go, I realized that I still needed to have the structured discipline, the routine, the ritual of research and preparing and making sure that I fully understand why this person connects to the topic. And so in this process of open conversation, I recognized just how important this underlying process was to make that happen. And it was very eye-opening for me.
Absolutely. And you still maintain your creativity, right? You still mm-hmm. have that discussion. It's just that there is a way that we go about it. And, you know, if you look at all the successful people, they have a process. They have ways of doing things that they do on a routine basis and over again. And they have it down, and they're very professional. They're very competent mm-hmm. and they're treated in a very professional way. You know, they mm-hmm. they drill it, they practice it, they repeat it, they mm-hmm. train on it, whatever it is, but they do it. It's not, they're following a certain process.
When you start talking in the sports language, the sports metaphors, it starts to click in my mind. It starts to make more sense, because I think that's a metaphor that makes sense when it comes to understanding process, the whole drilling and training and you know, shaving off seconds. While it doesn't seem to make sense, the seconds can be the difference between, you know, winning a medal and, you know, not winning a medal.
Absolutely.
So as we're talking about process, you started to drift into productivity. So they're really tied together, aren't they?
I think so. I think that the way to increase productivity is the quote that you read as well. You know, if you, mm-hmm. you know, we're not being productive when our minds are scattered, right? Where we're all over the place, where we don't have a specific plan. So how to increase productivity is really having specific processes of how you do things, and also then utilizing tools to increase your own productivity, right? So that's mm-hmm. key for me, for my productivity, to also teaching my clients, etc.
Yeah, interesting. So one of the things that I was really blown away with was an article you wrote about recovering from burnout in 2020. Mm-hmm. And I think pretty much every creative person that I know, myself included, has gone through burnout, has experienced burnout probably once this year, if not twice. And I didn't really think how important automated systems were in the burnout recovery effort.
Right. That's true. It's just that, you know, it's like all those tedious tasks that we do, that we go, oh, we have to do it again. I'm so exhausted, I can't do it. And then you feel bad, or you feel stressed because you know you have a deadline and you didn't do it, but you can't get yourself to sit in front of the mm-hmm. computer after you sit in front of the computer for 16 hours a day, right? You go like, okay, enough, I can't do it anymore. And then you go, and then things don't get done. So I love to automate. I love to use different tools that can help me. Mm-hmm. I love researching that and use it, and then teaching my clients how to use it. I mean, teaching my clients or others, because it just makes our lives better.
What are some of the tools that you really try to have your customers adopt so that they can take some load off?
You know, there isn't a one size fits all. So it really depends on what they have already and what they need. And I definitely don't want to overwhelm them and be another overwhelming factor in their lives.
Yeah.
So, but I'll give you some of them. It doesn't mean that like all of a sudden, you know, I have a client and I'm going to then use all of them, right? But I can also tell you what I use in my own business, in my own life, and that I think will help.
Perfect.
First of all, I love using something that organizes my emails. Mm-hmm. You know, so I use SendBox. I think it's a great tool. So what it does, it basically extracts from your inbox all the newsletters, all the things you are subscribed to, and all the things that you teach the system to, it's called Send Later. It basically puts it in a folder that the system recognizes that you can look at it later. Now, you might be thinking, I'm not subscribed to too many things. I thought so, but I end up being subscribed to 180 different subscriptions that I never subscribed. Well, maybe I subscribed to some. But it's fine. You know, I love to hear from other people. I like to hear, basically read other people's newsletters. You know, I just like, I always learn new things. But the problem is that those subscriptions come at a random time during the day, at a random days, right? Mm-hmm. So by organizing it where it's basically extracted and put it in one folder, it's called Send News, I can go at the end of the day, I can basically probably have every day about 30 of them there. And I can go through them very fast and look at the subjects that interest me or decide to read them or not or whatnot and do whatever I want with them, archives them, or maybe I take a snip of it and I put it in OneNote or whatever I want to do with that. But it's all at one time. So it really saves you time. You know, you are kind of like in the zone of like, okay, so now I'm going to learn something new. Let's see what people wrote. Let's remind myself of people I haven't heard for a while. But it's not a random thing that just hits you in the middle of the day. It's not in my inbox. So I recommend using some kind of a system to organize your email. I also, one of my productivity tools is that my rules actually, that I don't use email internally with my employees or my subcontractors. I use Slack. Some people use Teams, whatever it is, but we all communicate on the right channel of communication and not emails back and forth. I also use, I'm a big fan of task management systems such as Asana, Monday, also Teams, whatever Microsoft's tool there is for that. And it just helps tremendously. So what we do is we use internally, I use Asana, and I also use it with some clients. I use either Monday.com or Asana or Teams, where we actually put the tasks in those in the project management system, and we communicate about the task by writing comments about that particular task. So for those of you that have used it, you know what I'm talking about, and that makes a huge difference. There is no back and forth emails, there is no back and forth communication on without the context, because it's really hard. If I ask you a question, let's say Chris, we're working on the same project and we have a task to do XYZ. If you are going to Slack it or you're going to send me an email, I have to remind myself what this task is all about, right? But if you actually write me a comment where the task is located in Asana, then I can remember, I immediately have a context and I can answer you faster without wasting time thinking about it, right? So, you know, there are many productivity tools. I hope I'm not confusing any of you that are listening to us. Those of you that are already using it, you probably know what I'm talking about. Those of you that do not, feel free to reach out to Chris, to myself, you know, and just ask and we can send you links to those because it's really worthwhile exploring and using. It's a little bit of a learning curve, but it will make your life much easier.
And I can tell you're super passionate about these tools too.
I am. I love them.
Yeah, because you started getting really animated about, you know, just what they do for you. And I think that's the important takeaway from all of this is finding the things that, I guess, make you excited about doing the work and not dreading it.
That's right. They're kind of like, you know, they're like toys or there are things that add some something more interesting to the day-to-day routine, right? Like which tool am I going to learn about today? I recently learned about TextExpander. Do you use TextExpander?
I don't, but I know about it.
Oh, it's wonderful. It is just wonderful. It just, what it is basically, for those of you that do not know what it is, it's an app that allows you to store different sentences or paragraphs that you use a lot. So if you actually type one word, that paragraph would populate. So if, let's say, mm-hmm. you do a lot of email introductions, so you mm-hmm. probably started the same way. So then you are going, okay, I need to do an introduction. Let's say, okay, I want to introduce somebody to Chris, and I know that they will really help Chris, but it's on my to-do list, but I don't feel like sitting right now and writing an email, right? I mean, I'm sure we all felt that way. So mm-hmm. it's kind of like it's going to happen maybe a few hours later. But can you imagine if you just do it right now and it gets off your list? So you can write, like, in the Text Expander app, using it, you can basically have a certain abbreviation. Let's say whatever my abbreviation is for introduction, it will populate it, and all I need to do is change a few words and it will be there, right? Mm-hmm. So it's really good. It's helpful and highly recommended. So I just started exploring it. So we are still learning it, but it's really good.
That's cool. Yeah, I just recently went from using like Apple Mail for my email and using Gmail in the browser. And mm-hmm. I didn't really realize how much I would enjoy the sentence hint or whatever it's called, where they said, like, yeah. it looks like you want to say this. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I do. And then I just hit a button. I don't have to type anymore. And it's just amazing how just something like that can save seconds from what you're doing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. Yes. I know exactly what you're talking about. It's like, okay. Yeah, hit the tab button, and then the whole sentence mm-hmm. is right there. It's like perfect.
Yeah, and it's wild because it makes me think, you know, what is the future going to be like in terms of these creative systems? You know, right now it's predicting what you're going to say in terms of words, but what about images or, you know, effects or edits? You know, it's mind-blowing to consider what technology will do for us, hopefully, in the future.
Yes, I agree.
So as you are in 2021, what are some things that you're going to be changing or doing differently?
You know, I don't know if I want to introduce too much change, because that's one of the things that I tell my clients. You know, if things are going well for you, or if things are, you have a business that is doing, you know, that is doing what it's supposed to be doing, don't change. First of all, analyze what's going on, how are you doing things, and then introduce little changes and also monitor how it is going, right? So I don't necessarily want to make too many changes, because what I'm doing is working. But in terms of expansion, I definitely going to streamline in terms of allowing more group delivery as opposed to one-on-one, right? So let's say, for instance, I have a few business owners from the same profession, and they want to all get together and write processes and procedures. So I'm going to experiment with making it into a group session as opposed to working with one of them separately, because I think that will be good in terms of learning from each other. It will be better for me, and it will be better for the clients. So I'm going to try that. So I'll let you know about that.
Please do. And I love the distinction that you said. It's not about changing, but it's about expanding. And I love that way that you framed that. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes.
Because I think it's very tempting at times to be like, well, I got to change something. We're in the new year. I got to change something. Maybe it's connected to the whole New Year's resolution thing. But at the same time, you know, what is working? I think that's such a powerful question.
It really is. You know, I really recommend doing a SWOT analysis, you know, the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And it's a helpful tool. So you really identify what the strengths are, you know, internal strengths, internal weaknesses, external opportunities, external threats, and really do that. And then base your actions on that. You know, just take a look at things before you decide to just change for the sake of changing.
So good. Well, Adi, this has been such a fun conversation. I am so excited to really continue my process development and documentation. Thank you for just expanding my mind. And the last question that I have for you is, what book, podcast, or resource is blowing your mind?
You know, I am really enjoying searching different YouTube videos on the different productivity tools, because I think there are so many talented creative people out there that discovered things that I had no clue about, and I'm learning so much that I'm just in awe of people that figured it out. So I love it. I just, let's say if I want to start using a new tool, I will search it and I will look at the videos and I learn so much and I improve myself and how I'm being more productive. So that's really, that's my answer to that one.
That's awesome. Well, if someone's curiosity is piqued about processes, where can they find you?
They can email me or they can call me. So my email is adi@bizsuccesscg.com. That's B-I-Z, the word success spelled out, and C-G as in consulting group. So bizsuccesscg.com. Or they can call us at 503-662-2911.
That's awesome. Well, Adi, thank you so much for being a guest on Getting Work to Work. Again, this has been such an insightful conversation. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you for inviting me, and it was great. So thank you so much.
I really love what Adi had to say about making the decision as to what you are doing this year. And I think that is a great starting point. It's day one of a brand new year, and I hope that you will decide what you're going to go after this year and make the commitment to doing it. That is the very next step. And if you already know what you're doing, that's great. Just recommit to what it is. And I think whether you need to commit or recommit, make the decision. Until next time, may creativity and curiosity fuel your life.